Death of a Hollow Man, A Midsummer Murders Mystery, Book 2, written by Caroline Graham, read by John Hopkins.
You can't cut your throat without any blood.
Absolutely. People expect it.
I disagree. There wasn't any blood in the West End production.
Ah, Schofield, murmured Eslin dismissively. So mannered.
The Causton Amateur Dramatic Society were taking a break during a rehearsal of Amadeus. The production was fairly well advanced. The Venticelli were finally picking up their cues. The fireplace for the palace at Schönbrunn was promised for the weekend, and Constanze seemed at long last to be almost on the point of starting to learn at least one or two of her lines, whilst remaining rather hazy as to the order in which they came. But the sticky question as to how Salieri should most effectively cut his throat had yet to be solved. Tim Young, the only member of the company to shave the old-fashioned way, had promised to bring his razor along that very evening. So far, there was no sign of him.
You can get things, can't you, that make blood? I remember at the RSC...
Well, of course you can get things, Deirdre, snapped Harold Winstanley.
He always reacted very abrasively to any mention of the RSC.
I don't think there are many people present who are unaware of the fact that you can get things. It's just that I do try to be a tiny bit inventive, move away from the usual hackneyed routine, comprene?
He gazed at the assembled company, inviting them to admire his superhuman patience in the face of such witless suggestion.
And talking of routine, isn't it time we had our coffee?
Oh, yes, sorry.
Deirdre Tibbs, who had been sitting on the stage, hugging her corduroyed knees in a rather girlish way, scrambled to her feet.
Chop chop, then.
If you think Schofield was mannered, said Donald Everard, picking up Eslin's put-down, how about Simon Callow?
How about Simon Callow? Shrilled his twin.
Deirdre left them happily rubbishing their betters and made her way up the aisle towards the clubroom. Deirdre was supposed to be the assistant director. She had been General Dogsbody on dozens of productions until a few weeks ago, when, fortified by a couple of sweet martinis, she had shyly asked the committee to consider her promotion. To her delight, they had voted, not quite unanimously, in her favour. But the delight was short-lived, for it seemed that her role vis-à-vis the present state of play at the Latimer was to be no different from that at any time previously. For Harold would brook no discussion, his own phrase, on points of production, and her few tentative suggestions had either been ignored or shot down in flames. In the clubroom, she took the mugs from their hooks and placed them, very carefully, on the tray to avoid clinkage, then turned on a thin thread of water and filled the kettle. Harold, quick to describe himself as a one-man think tank, found the slightest sound disturbing to his creative flow.